It's good to see some boys and girls and some young at heart at this second service, and so I brought along a story now, too. Boys and girls, it was many years ago. It was May 31st, 1889. I think that was even before your moms or dads were born. That long ago, when south of us in the American state of Pennsylvania, it started to rain, and it rained down buckets. High above the city of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, there was a dam holding back the waters of a large lake. When all that rain came down and even more water rushed into that lake, suddenly the dam broke. And a huge wall of water, more than 10 meters high, roared down that valley and smashed into the little city of Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Hundreds of people were swept away to their death. Others were clinging to the rooftops, crying out for someone to rescue them. Among those on a rooftop was a poor widow lady. When the flood came, she grabbed what she could of the few things she had, a bit of clothing, and she stuffed it into a bag. And there she was on the rooftop with that little bag of clothing. When rescuers came and they threw her a line, they said to her, "Drop your stuff. Drop it. Hang on to the line with both hands." And even though it was all that she had left of all that she had in this world, that poor widow lady dropped her stuff, held on to the rope with both hands, and she was brought to safety. Also there in Johnstown, there was a rich banker. He too was on a rooftop, calling out to be rescued. He had a bag with him, not of clothing, but of money, and not worthless paper money like we have today, but real money, gold coins. And let me tell you, boys and girls, gold coins are heavy. There he had in his hand that heavy bag of gold coins. When the rescuers on a boat came near, they said, "We'll throw you a line, but drop what you have and hang on with both hands." But the banker wouldn't do it. He wouldn't let go of his bag of gold coins. He tried hanging on to the rope with one hand, but it didn't work. And he and his gold coins were swept away and were never seen again. Boys and girls, we people, we like our stuff. I'm sure you boys and girls like, maybe you have some game that you like, or a phone or something. But boys and girls, as Christians, we must be willing to drop everything in order to hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who rescues us. You cannot have a love in your heart for this world and the things of this world and still hold fast to Jesus. Our first love must be for Him. You think about that, boys and girls, then as we read from God's Word. And we're going to be reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, from Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 40. In the Bibles that you have, that can be found on page 638. And we'll read the first 17 verses of this chapter, and it is the custom that we read them in unison. Isaiah 40, starting with verse 1. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured the heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust upon the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him as less than nothing and worthless. So far, this scripture reading, and for our text, the verses 6 through 8, all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, or it can be translated falls, for the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Dear congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it was September in the year 1666. Early in the morning, a fire broke out in a bake shop. Soon, some of the buildings next door were on fire as well. In a big city, way back then in 1666, as nowadays here in Toronto, fires are always breaking out in a big city. But this fire was different. A stiff breeze was blowing, and that fanned the flames, and the fire leaped from one building to another. Way back then, there was no fire department. There were no fire trucks with high-powered pumpers to shoot water. The fire grew. Soon it became an inferno. Crowds of people began to flee for their lives. Some jumped into the River Thames in order to escape the flames. For 5 days, the fire burned. It consumed 13,000 homes and 89 churches, burned to the ground. The city was a smoking wreck. The ancient cathedral of St. Paul was a blackened shell. Its lead roof had melted, and the lead ran like rivers into the streets. The fire of London, the destruction of a city, a seeming tragedy. And yet, 200 years later, the great English preacher Charles Spurgeon, when he was preaching to his congregation there, could call it a blessing. He reminded his congregation that filthy old medieval alleyways, rotting wooden slums, all of that was cleared away in one stroke. And on the ashes, a new city, more orderly, more healthful, more beautiful, arose. Oh yes, the cost was great. Very great. But the results were glorious. The old destroyed so that the new could be established. Isaiah, God's faithful prophet, never heard of a place called London, England. But the Spirit of God inspired him to a prophecy about a destruction and a new establishment. The Holy Spirit spoke to Isaiah as he gazed out over the fields of Judah. For him, a very familiar sight. Those pastures were not like the wide fields that we have here in Ontario with good, rich soil. No, the pastures of Judah were poor, rocky land. But when the spring rains would come, all of a sudden that moisture would bring forth something remarkable. The grass and the wildflowers would spring up. They would grow so quickly. The flowers would bloom. It was a beautiful sight. But as the heat and drought of the summer came, a scorching wind would blow in from the desert. And as Isaiah and as other people then and there watched, they could see with their own eyes the grass wither and the flowers fade and fall in the scorching heat. The Spirit of God gave to Isaiah a prophecy about all of this. It was a picture of humanity and the work of God the Holy Spirit. All flesh is like grass and like the flowers of the field. The Spirit blows upon us, the grass withers, and the flowers fade. It is always good for us as Christians to reflect upon the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to appreciate the power of God's Spirit and His essential task of bringing salvation to us, of bringing us to the foot of the cross of Jesus, our precious Savior. And often when we think about the Spirit's presence and labor, our minds turn to the account in the opening of the book of Acts, where on Pentecost the Spirit descended upon the church there, those who were gathered with the disciples, and there were flames of fire, and Peter preached that sermon, and people could hear it in their own language. But our text from Isaiah points out to us an underlying work of the Spirit. A work that's like that of a hot, scorching wind that causes the grass to wither and the flowers to fade. That is a picture of humanity. Now, there is a glory to mankind. We human beings truly are the crown of God's earthly creation. The Lord God created us with wonderful talents and abilities, and so the human race through the centuries has been able to develop technology, build cities, send spacecraft out to the farthest reaches of the solar system and beyond. Marvelous achievements. And there is the glory of art and music. And when we go to a museum and we see those beautiful paintings and the amazing sculptures, when we sit and listen to beautiful music, yes, then we know, then we feel that we are, as the Bible said, created but a little lower than the angels. There has been a result from all of this, however. The glory of human achievements has resulted in pride and vaunting ambition. From King Nebuchadnezzar, who stood on the roof of his palace looking over the city of Babylon, and said, "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for my glory?" To the modern poet who said, "I am the captain of my fate, the master of my soul." There has always been in sinful human hearts a desire to boast and brag. And this includes spiritual life. Human pride will not submit to God. Spiritual rebellion, that is the result of pride. So many people around us today, the vast majority of Canadians, really think that they can do it on their own. Well, maybe with a few handouts from the government, but they can take care of themselves. Right now, and if there is an afterlife, well, then through all eternity too. The grace of God is spurned because of human pride. And when he saw all this, when he considered all this, Isaiah, with the Spirit's insight given to him, Isaiah realized that the glory of mankind is like the grass of a meadow. The great feats of human ability are like the wild flowers. Oh, so beautiful at first glance, but so delicate, so temporary. For the desert wind needs only blow upon those flowers, and they fade, and the grass withers away. So too, all the works of men and women. Our achievements perish as do we. Empires rise and they fall. Fashions change. Fortunes are lost. Good works are revealed as filthy rags. Their glory like the flowers of the field. And says our text, the Spirit blows. Our text here refers to the breath of God, and an Old Testament term for the Holy Spirit himself. As on Pentecost, the apostles and the disciples first felt the Spirit come upon them like a rushing wind. So Isaiah the prophet had revealed it long before. When the Spirit blows, it causes the glory of mankind to collapse like a falling flower. It's not that they merely droop a little bit. It's not some kind of temporary setback. No. It's complete, final. a fallen flower, its beauty gone, its strength lost, its place empty. That is how the Spirit works. In the hearts and in the lives of God's chosen ones, there has to be a withering away of all earthly affections, of all self-righteousness, of all self-reliance. We, all of us, you and me, we must be humbled. And oh, how that hurts. Why is it necessary? Because human pride is such a deadly force. In pride, so many do think, I'll do it myself. I'll straighten up my life someday. I'll be a better person somehow. And surely, well, if there is a God, then God will think that I'm okay. Works righteousness, do-it-yourself religion, self-satisfaction, self-esteem, call it what you will. The consequence is the same. Death. By works, no one is justified. The Holy Spirit is not going to establish His grace on the foundation of human effort or pride. Our old sinful human nature cannot be repaired. It must be swept away entirely. That is the work of God. That is regeneration. It's like we see here in Toronto. I'm sure you see it here in Scarborough. Certainly I see it where I live in the West End in Rexdale. There's an older house. Small, a bit run down, on a fair-sized lot. It's put up for sale, and a new family buys it. And we, having lived in the neighborhood for a while, we're so used to seeing that old house, and we think, oh, well, yeah, a new family, well, maybe they'll paint it. Maybe they'll put on a new roof, fix it up some. But before we know it, there's a couple of great big machines on that lot. And that old house is just knocked down. And more than that, the old foundation is even dug up. And an expensive new house is built from a new foundation right up to the top of the roof. When the Lord God takes control of a heart or life, yours or mine, He's not content just to fix up our old sinful self. He's not going to slap on a new coat of paint or something else superficial. He is going to renew us from the very foundation of our life right on up. That's not an easy job, nor is it accomplished quickly, but I can assure you God is very thorough. And that's why when the Spirit blows, all human pride collapses. That is why we are saved by grace through faith and not by works. A new foundation is established. Verse 8 of our text gives us amazing confidence and assurance. It reveals to us this new, secure foundation for life which the Spirit provides. After all, none of us is going to take a heap of withered grass and faded flowers and try to build a house on that. So too with the foundation of life. Human pride, human wisdom, human efforts, it all fades away. It's impossible to build securely upon it. But, says our text, The word of our God stands forever. God has given to us his word of truth, and God's promises, it shall stand. We live in troubled days. The world, of course, has nothing but contempt for the Bible. As we see all around us, we live in a society that has no intention of living by the standards of the Bible. And even within many groups that still call themselves churches, there are those who say, well, yeah, the Bible, we can't really trust it. It's out of date. It's out of fashion. And often it seems that secular science or human philosophy or popular ideas, well, that has a greater influence on the world around us than the Word of God. But don't be afraid, Christian. Flowers fade. The findings of science change all the time. Human philosophies are abandoned. Popular ideas fall into oblivion. The flowers of human minds and human will fall, but the Word of God stands forever. Let us build upon that good foundation, holding fast to God's Word. Let us endure with prayer and patience, even when the Spirit blows upon us, on your life, on mine, and we feel the grass wither and the flowers fade. It's not easy when the Lord God removes our human pride. When God takes away our self-sufficiency, that hurts. But that hurt is momentary. The flowers fall, yet we Christians have something that endures. The Word of God, inspired by the Spirit, and the Christ of the Scriptures, our Savior and our Lord. Dear friends, when the grass withers and the flower fades in your heart and life, as they must, be sure that you have the foundation that endures, God's Word. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, thank you for giving us your Word, that sure foundation, revealing to us the perfections of Christ Jesus, his work, his sacrifice upon the cross, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the sure promise of his return. O Lord, we pray that you will cause all self-sufficiency, all self-will, self-reliance to wither away, to fade away in our hearts and in our lives, so that we can depend upon you alone. Hear us, for we ask this of you. In Jesus' name, amen.